In the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verse 29, it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Amazing what little trouble will do to drive you the right direction. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise up, get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said." Now, he had argued, "Serve the Lord in the land." And then he had said, "Don't go forth." Then he had said, "Don't take your children. Why expose them to the dangers of the desert?" Then he said, "Don't take your cattle." When God got done with him, he got up in the middle of the night, said, "Go, serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone. Bless me also." I want to make a prophecy for some of you that sit there as onlookers and know better. God's going to do his work. And you may be begging for a blessing after it's too late. Now, I want to continue on this teaching, but we're at the station break half hour time, so get back on the telephone while this song plays, and then I'll return to this section of Exodus chapter 12. After the slaying of the firstborn, the night of the Passover in Egypt, the record in Exodus 12 says, Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron by night, said, "Rise up, get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel. Go serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also." And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, "We be all dead men." Firstborn had been slain. They wondered who would be next. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, and their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. I'm going to put this in context. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men, besides children. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and couldn't tarry. Neither had they prepared for themselves, as they say in Missouri, any victuals. Now, the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelled in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day. It came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of Israel and their generations. And the Passover was established. Now go to the 14th chapter. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say to the children of Israel, they're entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. And I'll harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we've let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariots and took his people with him and took 600 chosen chariots and pursued them. Pursued after him, the ninth verse says. 10th verse, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they said, the Lord hath delivered us from the land of Egypt, the 430 years to the day that was promised of God has been met. And as God said over 430 years ago, we would go into a land and become servants. But God would bring us forth in the fourth generation with substance, and we borrowed from the Egyptians, cruel taskmasters that they were, and we are weighted down with jewels and gold and silver. So it's obvious that God keeps his word, and God not only promised that 430 years ago, he promised he'd bring us back into this land of Canaan. And the land of Canaan's on the other side of the Red Sea, and God has proven his power over Pharaoh by killing the firstborn. Now we will see the salvation of the Lord. Don't be afraid. Pharaoh's a goner. Is that what they said? Huh? What Bible am I reading? That ain't what they said, is it? Behold, the Egyptians marched after them. This one says. All that was what they should have said. I go to horse shows and always, because I think I ought to win everything. So when I lose one, I hit myself and say, why didn't I bring those should have won ribbons? Should have won ribbons. This is what they should have said. They didn't. Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, you know, when people lose faith and get out of touch, they really... I don't believe there's anybody as cruel or mean in the world as a backslidden saint. Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Can you hear the venom? You can hear venom. Because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness? Now, the Great Pyramid of Giza is not a tomb, but all those other pyramids are tombs. There wasn't a place in the world that had as many prominent graves as Egypt. Boy, were they rubbing it in Moses' face. I mean, a land famous with more spectacular graves than any place in the world. You thought we couldn't be buried there? You had to go out here so we could find some graves? You know, Moses is a pretty good fella. Can you just imagine for about 2 seconds what Pastor Scott would have said? These are the times you need your ever-loving Gene Scott as your pastor. That's what you need. God, what a miserable bunch of people that God's saving. Hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? And then, you know, I just hate this kind of person. Didn't I tell you so? It's what I said. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in this wilderness. I'm telling you, when God gets ready to do something, he's going to do it. Whether it's fair to the poor old guy who has his firstborn die, though he is in a prison cell. And when God gets ready to do something, he's going to do it, even with a miserable bunch like this. His word was at stake. He had given his word to Abraham 430 years before. And for his word's sake, he's going to carry it out. These people didn't deserve it. And some of those in Egypt didn't deserve as bad as it was to them. I'm sure there's a good Egyptian or two. Sure were a lot of bad Israelites. Years earlier, in response to a question by Abraham, how will I know that these promises you have given me will come to pass? And God said, I'll answer you. I'll give a sign that will convince anybody that takes the trouble to look. Your descendants will be taken to a strange land, become slaves there, come forth in the fourth generation with substance, or another phrase, richer than when they went in, and will return back to this land. Now, I preach Sunday, you're going to look at circumstance or God's word. Well, if I had seen God do all of the things that these people had just seen God do, I'd believe God could do anything. Well, they seemed to forget awful quickly and probably were similar in human nature as you. I preached Sunday about the power of the flesh to bind. You've just seen a miracle. You don't realize how important it was to Satan to keep us off radio. I don't know about you. I was prepared to faith on in God if I died not having obtained the promise. You've heard me tell you before how I felt driving to King's House 1 the first Sunday after we lost Channel 30. Because I didn't think we would. But I determined on the way I would preach God's word. Faith in that word and stand on it no matter what. we saw God put us back on 30. We came on at the same hour, 9 o'clock. I still remember sitting in a chair when we brought 30 back on the air. I said, "I'm still here, you sons of Belial, you." Remember that?
Yes, sir.
I knew we should be downtown, but I never knew how. I listened again today on shortwave myself as I was traveling back from High Adventure offices and heard the enthusiasm out of the cathedral as we opened last Easter. God took us back downtown, and you have yet to even given an offering to make that possible. What's the matter with you? You don't know. You may say, how could these people not believe God and the miracles they had seen? Same way you stopped believing God with the miracles you've seen. Well, how can they? Answer, easy. If you look at circumstances, God could have delivered them out of Egypt without sending Pharaoh out there. He knew when he sent Pharaoh out there, he intended to drown him. Those fools, all they could see is Pharaoh was bearing down on them. You are so lucky a people that I am not God. You should fall on your face. Thank whomever or whatever you believe in. But at least I'm not God. I'd wipe people out. I'd kill these people. And I confess on occasions I want to kill my people. Because we pay no attention. We take the miracles for granted. I still feel the greatest loss was the FM. Now, I said to myself on the way here tonight, I've been faithful, I've been honest with the congregation, and I have said 9785 shortwave is not secret 5. And I am telling you that as Secret 5 materializes, we will blanket the globe 24 hours a day on multiple frequencies until Satan can go nowhere on this earth or in the heavenlies around it and not have me pounding in his ear. That's what's going to happen. But some of you, because of this great and wonderful victory of 4 hours a night on 9785, you're going to sit back and treat it as though it's nothing. These people were as though they were puppets on a string. Part of the playing out of a drama of God's faithfulness and God's power. And all they could see was themselves and the circumstances that threatened them. But God got it done. Why'd you bring us out here? Were there no graves in Egypt? And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And he did. You know the story. When they cross the Red Sea, they dance and have a glory fit. March 3 days into the wilderness and get thirsty and turn on God again. Here early on in their walk of faith and deliverance, God is patient and is willing to continue to demonstrate his arm and continue to demonstrate his ability to deliver. But there will come a time after, again and again showing that. Whereas God says in the book of Hebrews, he begins to see that this people, instead of developing in faith, will continue like a metallurgist who tests the reality of metal. They view themselves as having the right to test God, to see whether he'll pass the test again now. And they put God on trial instead of realizing that they are on trial. And having shown again and again his power to deliver, God took us downtown with our regular budget. I never asked a thing of you, nor did God. God put us on 9785 without me asking one red cent from you. That's out of our regular budget that you have missed out on in September and October, or rather September and November. Two of the last 3 months. You have shortchanged God $300,000 in total. God is still work the miracle. Took us downtown, clothed you in a marvelous cathedral of beauty. Has now brought us back on shortwave across the nation. But there's a point where God stops that constant delivering that he does and decides, you're going to show some faith, and you're going to take some risk, and you're going to decide that God has demonstrated enough that you can count on him, and you start moving before he does anything. No more stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, but rather, get up and go. They didn't do it. He brought him to Kadesh Barnea, and with all the proofs of what he had done, spies come back and tell him there's some giants. It's everything that God had said it was. Land of milk and honey. But there are giants there. And they go through the same number. What'd you bring us out here to die for? Let us go back to Egypt. And God got fed up. He said, go tell them. That I'm going to slay every one of them and throw their bones through the wilderness for a total of 40 years. And, you know, the flesh is so stupid. Oh, we don't want to die out here. As if where you die is important if you're going to die. And then when God said, you're going to die, well, we'd rather run the risk of a giant killing us and have the certainty of God killing us. And they said, we're going to go in now. They were one day too late. Moses said, I ain't going. The ark ain't going. God ain't going. And without God's support, they got beat up, and what they feared came upon them. New Testament says, let us therefore fear, literally in the Greek, lest a promise of God we wait one day too late, one day too long, to pick it up. Now for 5 years, more than that, for 15 years, from the day that Faith Center was doomed by all appearance of circumstances, and the fountain of faith was built, and we determined we'd pierce this globe with the gospel by broadcast until Jesus comes. God has demonstrated again and again his power to deliver, his willingness to back his word. He's come through every time. We're more fortunate than some who die not having obtained the promise. Now, after 15 years, that's three times, divine manifestation, grace. It's time for us to have a new beginning, the adequate witness of it, 2 times 8. It's time to step in faith and join the Relentless Fund and say, I now am going to believe God rather than my circumstances and move forward to this victory as we seize Secret 5 that ensures our permanent future round the world, proclaiming this gospel till Jesus comes. Now get on the telephone and show some faith.